Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton, and along with me, as always, and you know what, today I'm like ditching alliterations and all the normal stuff and all the hoopla that I normally do for a whole new hoopla of back to back women's Decafit world champion, Bethany McChesney.
Thank you. I did something.
You did a thing. What a weekend.
Yeah. I know after this was obviously like the A race weekend for me for the year. And I always know there's the post-race depression after like the big race, but man, this one is hitting me hard. And I think it's just, and which makes the event also like so much better, but it was a 3-day event. I had 6 races, and getting yourself hyped up that many times and just the emotion of everybody racing and being around so many people, like it's just such a big output over 3 days that I feel like I've been hit by a truck since being back. And definitely off season perfect timing. So yeah, what a good weekend.
I am emotionally and vocally drained.
Yeah, you do sound a lot better though.
Monday. Oh man. And you know what? And I'll start with this a little bit. So I did watch, I haven't watched all of the live streams or whatever. I've just really kind of dabbled a little bit here and there. And everybody did a really good job, but the sound was not great. And that really disappointed me so much, because I tried so hard. I know my partners, because I worked with both Luke and Jack at separate times, did great work. And I was just so disappointed. And mostly it seemed that it was my mic that was the worst. And then later my voice went, which made it even worse. So actually, though, shockingly, the little bits I saw when my voice was worse at its lowest during the strong was actually when the mic sounded the best. I don't know. It is what it is. We're you know, doing the best with what we got, I guess. But still, it was. So I apologize for that. That's disappointing, because I think there was a lot of good content in there, and it.
Well, and some of it too was, and if people that weren't there, where you guys were doing the commentator stuff was still kind of in the mix of people. It was right by the results that were being posted constantly on. So you're still kind of around a lot of noise. So you would almost have to be in some separate area in like a soundproof room or something to not have like background noise and stuff like that also. So again, like you guys did a great job with where you were and what you had and everything else. So,
and it's hard finding that split, right? Because you don't want to be away from it. You want to be in the excitement, because the closer you are, the more exciting it is. The little bit of background noise is great. Like, I mean,
some of it too is the vibe. Like, as commentators, if you miss like the vibe that happens in the crowd when, you know, like Kevin Gregory smashes a bike in the deck of strong, like that, you feel that as the commentators. Like, so part of it is you kind of want to be in it so that you kind of feel what's going on.
Well, and you've done it once with me before when we did remote. It would have been something like this. And it's really difficult to convey the excitement. Mm-hmm. It's very hard. And it is so much easier when you're at ground zero.
Yeah.
So it's all a learning process. And it was good. And Jason Dupree and OCR Airport did a good job. They do the best that you could possibly expect for what they got. So that, I just wanted to get that out of the way. It was one of those things. I was like, damn it. Anyway. You want to go through so many. So you did 6 races. And I know that like your A race was the relay with Heather, right? You guys had won last year. You wanted to defend competition. And no disrespect to anybody, competition was even stiffer this year.
So we went in with the 4th seeded time.
And so that, I know how you felt about it. And we'll go through the race and stuff, but I would say, and for you guys to win that race, well, I'm not going to call it an upset or anything. You probably were one of the favorites. So I mean, it's not like I'm not going to go and say it's a giant surprise, but individually, your performance in the fit and the mile, that did that catch you off guard?
I think in the fit, yes. Like the fit relay would have been, like I said, I've said before, the one that made me nervous because my expectations were like we wanted to win, but at least podium. But the Deca fit has always been my A race being a runner. So I like top five would be like a dream come true. Top 10 was my goal. I got a roll down from a 25th or 26th place. I think I was 17th or 18th seeded overall. So just kind of knowing my capabilities and if everything goes well, top 10 was within my reach. And I, being in the second heat, I ended up in a really cool race with girls that were kind of similar to me in that we're decent runners and we can hold our own on stations, but so I ended up in such a good race with Katie Duke and Michelle Navarro, and yeah, just the way I was just really proud of myself with the way I raced because DECA can be you kind of ride these waves sometimes of like thinking you're completely out of it, and then you kind of see people come back, and then something else happens because every station is so unique and plays to different people's strengths. And some people work on something more than the other, and you can make moves on someone, but then they smash another station. So I felt very calm and I raced within myself and I focused on exactly what I knew I needed to do. And I was kind of went from again the back of the pack and then worked myself into it. And I ended up, I won my heat. And then it put me into the eighth place overall for the elite women. And but I shocked myself with the time that I ran. I took over 90 seconds off of my time that I raced to qualify. So yeah, with that, I was a bit shocked, but again, it was just I completely ran my own race, and having girls that were so equally matched with me to kind of key off of and race really well with definitely pushes you to that next level. So yeah, I was riding a bit of a high from that race going into the fit relay, which was like 4 hours after.
That was a bit of a tough turnaround. That was the one day that I think, well, at least for me, that was the one day that I went back to the Airbnb and rested in between, because that was the one day I was going to need to run. But that must have been a lot tougher for you, because I mean, you obviously ran your heart out in the first one, and then you had to recover to essentially go and do, 10 by 500 intervals at breakneck speed with Heather. So how, like, going into that one, how'd you feel? Like, because I mean, I didn't talk about much with you then, right? Like, how are you feeling? Are you ready? Are you ready? Like, you don't want to freak you out, right? So
Yeah, and it's not like I'm always going to say the same thing
yeah,
anyways.
no, I'm not ready.
Right. Like, yeah, I'm ready to smash it. Yeah, like I did go to the well in the deck fit in my individual. So you do kind of have to protect your energy between such hard efforts. So like I did go back to and kind of regrouped and focus on the importance of what the relay was to Heather and I. And I think because again, it's a relay and you have that other person that's relying on you. And that's also it's the beauty of it. And there's also the added nervousness of it because you don't want to mess up for your partner. And Heather was pretty nervous too. And she kind of wears her nervousness on her sleeve. And so I also like I love the community. So to kind of ease some of my nervousness, I have fun with the girls and just kind of have a good time and just feel grateful for how awesome the community is, and the girls that were in the relay were awesome. And I got to meet some people for the first time who I've kind of just known online, and you just kind of soak it all in. And I also, Heather and I had a very different strategy, I would say, than most of the other teams. So, and we actually made a couple tiny tweaks on the start line and then even changed it mid-race. But like, I also had to mentally prepare that we were not, we just with how our race strategy was, we were going to be racing from the back. So I had to mentally prepare that I would have to suffer in the second stage of the race, in order to secure a podium spot. So the like the psychological aspect of like preparing to suffer and like knowing what it's gonna take, and yeah, so that was kind of like my mindset before it. Like, all like I love racing, and the teams are my favorite. So like, you're kind of on cloud nine with just being there. And Heather and I don't get to race that often together because we don't live close to each other. And then just knowing like I am going to give my heart and soul to help Heather because I know she will for me. And the race is going to be an emotional roller coaster because of how we have to race. Yeah, so that's kind of like the lead up to it. And it went out way faster.
Now,
It
was this the race where Amber yelled at the other girls, like, what are you doing?
was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Amber Tate just trying to rein in the women off the start, like, let's just not let be crazy here, ladies.
Yeah, but Alicia Kruger and Haley Broken had an obvious plan to lead from the gun, and Amber Tate's partner went with them, and then all the other teams went with them, like every other team. So Heather and I were spit out the back. Like, this is not the plan. We are not running a 3:20 kilometer off the hop.
What though? Honestly, I think considering their team makeup and they're not stupid girls. They know what they're doing. I think that was a good idea on their part, right? Like, I don't think if they raced the same race as you and Heather that they would beat you at it. So they had to change the game. So I think it was a smart strategy. It didn't quite work out, but it wasn't a bad move.
Well, and that's such like that's the beauty of the team races though, is you really have to work to your team's strength. And that team was definitely stronger in the front half, and they have two really solid runners. So their plan was to try to run away from the competition and get as far away as they could before we hit the second half. And like, they had a sizable, they were almost finished the lunges, I think, before we even got in there. So like, they their plan was obvious, and I like you said, I don't think it was a bad strategy. But yeah, it made it hot again mentally. I remember going into so going into the skier, which now we're talking halfway, number five, we were coming in like fifth place. So we were still not really in the mix there in the podium halfway through the race. And part of me was counting myself out too. And I'm like, we're gonna have to pull, like we're gonna have to do everything in our power to secure this. And you don't always know what they have left or any of the other teams, like, and yeah, so like things kind of started to just chip away after that. But like I did for a couple of moments be like, well, I guess our strategy doesn't really work anymore because we have teams. And as the runner, I find it's the most significant with feeling the difference of a team that splits everything. Because so essentially I do most of the running. We do split a run. We were supposed to split two runs, but Heather mid-race kind of changed the plans, which is fine. And it's 250, when I spend the first 250 like gunning in on someone, I'm hyper focused and I slowly kind of feel like I'm gaining on them, and then they hand off, and then the girl goes out again like a bullet. It's like, oh my God, I feel like I ran so hard to try to catch this girl, and then the other girl's gone. And it's mentally, it's really hard to be that runner where you're doing all the 500s and they're splitting everything. So it feels really different.
You have to keep in your head that I have a fresh monster waiting at that station to tear it apart.
Right. Yeah, so it's different strategies based on the strength of your team. And I mean, we kind of proved one is not necessarily yet better than the other. Because with splitting everything too, you're smashing things at a higher intensity. I know my running capabilities too, and I the other thing, like transitions were awkward. So again, and this was kind of frustrating as being the runner that didn't transition at the exchange zone, is I smashed into people who were exchanging and then running to the inside. And like again, it's a courtesy thing. Like when you exchange, you have time to get to the next station, but people would cut hard into the inside. So like the transition sometimes took some time, depending on how well you are at handoffs and stuff. So yeah, that was also interesting to witness. And because it was such a close race, a lot of teams were exchanging at the same time. Which is a little bit, I don't know, maybe it's something that could be fixed a bit. Like you exchange, you have to run to the right, like get to the outside, don't cut into the inside. Yeah, so the second half of the race, like with the farmer's carry, started to kind of separate the top three teams, I suppose. So we were in third. We were in third until I started to really catch on the girls in the run until going into the bike, I caught the second place team, and then Heather laid down a bike that was sub 60 seconds, and the crowds were like freaking out, and I was like, oh my God, Heather just completely sold herself for that bike. And then I was like, I put everything into the next run. And funny thing, I can't believe I still get race brain on this, but I thought it was my last hard run. I always forget about the dead balls. So I smashed that next run. And I caught another team, the other team going into dead balls. And then I actually was looking for her going into the sled. And then I was like, oh shit, I miscounted. And I went into the dead balls. And I was like, oh my God, I have to do it again. Like, okay, one more fast 500. And they were the same, basically the same split. So I did manage to do it again, but I was like, okay, summoning. Okay, remember what it felt like when you were 20 and you used to race on the track? And I'm like, every bit of that, like, put it into your legs. And yeah, and then Heather just destroyed that tank, like Heather knows how. So we came out of the tank in first, and I was not watching the clock at all. And but Heather does, and we went out for that last 500, and I was kind of starting to pull away. I was hoping Heather would go with me, and then all of a sudden she looked at her watch and realized we were on world record pace. And then all of a sudden Heather's like running by me in the last 500. I'm, what are you doing? So I'm like, okay, here we go. And then I picked it up, and yeah, we went into the burpees, and we had a pretty good gap. So, and it didn't even occur to me until when I checked my watch, and I was like, oh damn, that's really fast. And then I grabbed Yancey. I'm like, what's the world record? He's like, I don't know, but I think you got it. And then it kind of clicked. So yeah, it was pretty exciting.
It was very crazy. Because I was busy doing commentary and so many other things at the same time, and someone told me they're kind of down going into I can't remember what area, just skiered or whatever. And I said, no, I said they're fine. I said they're starting to roll into Heather's world.
Yeah, and man, if you the backside of that race in Heather's world is just like, I watch videos of her, even like the farmer's carry, and she runs as fast as she runs normally, carrying 80 pounds, and the barriers got in the way, so she's like bicep curling the 40 pound dumbbell. God,
You didn't get a lot of rest there.
yeah, then I get no rest, but that's fine.
No, it was good. So, and we're gonna jump around a bit. So we'll go back though to the women's fit, because we can talk about some of the other people too. Did you see Morgan Schultz coming at all? Like, did you have any idea?
I wish I did, because I saw the mood she was in before, and she was just so chill and happy to be there and in a mood where she didn't have high expectations. Not that she didn't have realistic expectations. She was like, you know, I only did one this year. I'm just here to have a good time. Top five would be nice. I don't really have a big goal, but she was just kind of having fun. And sometimes that works for people. And I was in the second heat, so I didn't really get to see their race, but a couple times I saw her fly by and I was like, I think Morgan is winning. And it did kind of take me by surprise, but I mean, and she ran like a 2-minute PB or something, or more.
Yeah,
And I
it
mean, it
was.
shouldn't take me by surprise because Morgan is a beast, but yeah, I don't know if I would have put her on the podium though.
No, when and this is on the live stream, and I've told this story, but it's on the live stream, so it just tells you kind of how she looked that day, how prepared she seemed, because we did her preamble before over on a table, and I had Tara picked for first, I had Camilla picked for second. And we talked back and forth about Tara and Camilla, Tara and Camilla. And then we went over to the start line. And Luke asked me, he's like, all right, we know one and two. You got, who do you got for third? And honestly, I looked up and I had not planned this, but I looked up and I saw Morgan and she looked so ready, so fit, so focused. I'm like, and I just, Morgan Schultz. I just, it was one of those where I
You
was
just got a
just like,
sense.
yeah, I just had a sense. She just, you know, I mean, sometimes you see that just someone on that start line just looks like this is their day. She looked like this is her their day. And then so I said, yeah, I think she'll come third. And then well, yeah, she made me look good in predicting that she comes third by surpassing that and absolutely winning. So it was crazy. Like it was unbelievable the effort. But that race though, in general, is just such a good race. Lauren Griffin just bringing it, making everybody hurt. You
Did
know?
she take it out? I didn't get to
Yeah.
watch the
Yeah.
fit
Yeah.
yet.
Lauren Griffin was hauling. She impressed me a lot this weekend. Like she put herself in every fight. She's like, I'm gonna be in it. You know, I might not come out on top, but I'm gonna be in it. And I don't think it was until I think Tara passed her for second. On the did I get it right? Did Tara come second in that one? Or was she third? Yeah, she came second in that one. And she passed on the burpees. Like it was a last minute, last ditch effort. And yeah, it was impressive. It was just a great race to watch. And seen so many badass women just crush it, just going for it. And you know, yeah, so it was great. What did you think of? I mean, the layout was the same as always, other than the Farmer Carry layout was different.
So, well, I only had to do it once. I didn't like it.
I wasn't a big fan either.
Yeah, and like we know, and Dylan has said it to, like, he destroyed the course. So it was like a long straightaway, and then you slalomed around just one barrier. So you're kind of zigzagging. It left no real opportunity to pass unless you went hard at the very, very beginning, because with just all the tight turns, you're not going to go wide around someone because in 2 steps you're turning again. Yeah, so I didn't really like the Farmers Carry. I don't I know they were working with the space that they had. I don't know if they could have done a couple long down and backs, it would have been better. At least you could have had some moves made maybe in the Farmers Carry, but
And when I think when you mention that, you think back last year to women's how many moves were made on the Farmers Carry, even the men's, like it was actually a pivotal station in the race. So I didn't really like it either for that exact reason. And we joked about it. We said if Kevin Gregory was ahead, someone like him, he could just run the first part really fast and then just block the entire aisle and you know and walk it and no one could even run around him. Like it was, I didn't like that. But also the I mean, and we'll go more into this and probably more when we talk about the mile, but the corner the floor was a bit slick.
There were sections of it. Like it was such an old floor in that there were parts of it where there was like old paint sections where you, if you hit certain spots, it was really slippery.
Yeah, so that part was, but and then on the men's side, the men's again was it another great race. Rylan did what we expected, went out going to make everybody hurt, see who's going to follow. But what we didn't expect to see, especially, was Ryan Kent and Rich Ryan both pull out. And Ryan Kent, right after what seemed like a pretty good bike, and he was sitting in like fourth or fifth at the time, so he wasn't out of it, and he was just getting into sections where, you know, Ryan Kent gets strong and can start getting into it. So seeing him pull out, and then I didn't even notice right away that Rich pulled out, but I guess he did it like on the other side after the first running lap, the same deal. But Kent suffering from, like, he's been sick all week and all that stuff, and he and whatnot, and he's had a little toe injury, but he said the toe injury didn't really play into it. It was just had no, he couldn't breathe well enough to stay in it, you know. And Rich felt his Achilles go and immediately dropped out, but he hadn't been feeling well as well. So that one, like those two guys out, I mean, you're talking two of your podium finishers from the year before opening up spots. Now it gets exciting as to, well, who's gonna jump in and fill the void. And it just, the racing was intense. It was awesome. I mean, it was, some people went up, some people went down. I mean, let's I can look real quick at the results here.
Yeah, so I have it. So we have Rylan Chadwick, and like he had a pretty significant, that was made no difference who dropped out. Rylan took it, and then 40 seconds later, so Dave Magida made a big
That's right.
pass, actually. Yeah, when he noticed kind of what happened, and then I think things turned up for him. And then Nick Riker took the third spot on the podium, which was a big day for him. And we know Nick has been working really hard and focusing on DECA. And he ran a huge PB also, so at 29:45, that sub 30 has been eluding him for a while. So, and then Dylan Scott was fourth, and VJ was fifth. Joseph Cotto, Colin Stieffer, Glenn Rax, Isaac Sanderson, our Canadian boy, and Cole Walkington.
So when we were watching live, Dylan actually had that spot, like, where it was Rylan, Nick, then Dylan. And when they were on, I'm trying to remember the station that it does, it's not really that important. I think it was probably the dead ball overs, but, and then the tank. Oh, it was on the tank. It was on the tank when Magida had been making ground on Dylan and finally passed him. And you could see almost Magida's mentality. The second he passed Dylan was now no longer in his mind, and he was hunting Nick, despite the fact it was a pretty good gap. And you could just see he was in that zone of, I am in attack mode, no matter who's there. I'm going after it. And he did eventually run him down. Nick Riker, I mean, I think it was one of the happiest moments, because everybody in the community loves Nick Riker. He's a great guy. He just gets along with everyone. He's nice to talk to. He's just one of those guys everybody likes. And to see him finally kind of break through and, you know, get away from 30 minutes, 20 seconds, which he must have done for like nine races in a row, and then finally break through and get this. And then interviewing him after, him being very emotional and the open, and just, to me, yes, Ryland's dominance was awesome. Morgan's surprise win was amazing. But Nick getting that third might have been my highlight of the day, like, as far as a from a viewing perspective, because he was just so happy, you know. And the whole stuff you do, right? Whatever. That stuff is okay. But yeah, I'll put it this way, it was my highlight of the men's wave. And so congrats, Nick. So happy for you. And yeah, so that was day one. Well, I raced day one too, but it wasn't as exciting as all that. And all I can say from day one is I owe Jeff an apology for hitting the stop button and not the start button. That probably cost us one spot. That probably cost us being in the top 10, to be honest. So, which I think we did very well considering where we were seated, which I believe was 49th. So hats off. I'm very happy with how we did. So we go to day two, and then we get the mile, right? So we might as well start with your mile.
My mile. So again, the mile, I was not honestly expecting to be in the elite heat for the mile. I came in with a roll down. I was 20, I had the 24th time. So I was in the second heat, and yeah, like the mile I find is actually a very difficult race because it's super fast running, the stations super matter. It's just very intense. And I was in a heat with Sarah Grippy. I'm not sure if that's how you say her name. And she took it out hot, and she's so good on the station. She's such a strong girl. And yeah, she smashed it. So it's kind of with ended up with like me and Lori Winkleman. And again, like I'd pass her on the run, she'd pass me on the station, pass me on the runs. And it was just kind of like the ping pong with like the runner and the strength girl and the runner and the strength girl. And yeah, so I ended up second in my heat behind Sarah Grippy, and I was 10th overall for elite women. I found it really hard day two. Like I couldn't sleep after Friday night. I was like just kind of buzzing, and to just shift your focus to the next day, and just kind of get yourself back up. And I was sore. I was super sore. The hairpins really get to my left ankle. And so I kind of taped that up, and so to just kind of get myself psyched up for the mile individual was hard. I kind of felt like I was just a little bit blunted as far as like my edge for really, really pushing. But like I'm not upset at all about how I did. I was a little bit off of my best time, but the setup with the mile especially is probably the worst for running fast times in comparison to what you can kind of get at a gym setup. So yeah, like I'm not upset about it at all. It went as well as expected. I went in about the 17th or 18th seat again and came 10th. So it was a good day.
And this was another one where I didn't get to watch because I was prepping, I was doing commentary for the individual as well, and you were in that second heat, so they were focused on the first heat. But I would have loved to, because I mean, you and Lori are like some of my favorite athletes to watch, and just fun people, and to see that back and forth would have been great. And then her having her little hiccup.
Yeah, so and Lori probably would have beat me, but she went to the tank before the dead balls
Yeah.
and actually did a length with the tank first before she realized she was at the wrong spot.
Yeah. So that's a little disappointing. But she's being Lori. She's just like, ah, whatever. Just
Yeah.
shake it off like a champ. Go home, have another pizza. But yeah. So I would have liked to see that. So that was a good race. And then for the first wave, again, so fast, so crazy. Like the mile setup, more than anything else, created more chaos. Like
Yeah.
we'll talk about the team chaos later, but even in the individual race, the chaos, like just the track was very narrow.
And the turns were hard to turn. They had the big box at the end, which is good because then you're no one's gonna bump into the thing and move it. But I saw a lot of people going into the outside barriers trying to make that curve and not lose momentum.
Oh, Alex Walker, one time, I think it might have been the first lap, she looked like,
She tripped on it, yeah.
and she ran all the way into the tank area and then back out. Like it was a huge apex corner, but it was really tight, and because the floor was a little slick, that made it even more chaotic. But yeah, with that, you're right, with that mile setup, right? If you're not first person, first couple of the stations, you got to run and way into the back, and this,
And try to find
yeah,
something
it's
too.
really hard to get any kind of high, to
Yeah.
get a really good time. So, but that one, it was a good race, everybody racing back and forth. Again, Lauren Griffith right out there in the mix, Camilla in the mix, and this one came down at the end where Tara just hammered at the end again and manages to take the win on the burpees and come across the line. And I don't think I've ever seen Tara so pumped about a win. Like she didn't crash on the floor, she like tore the tape in half as she ran across, and she was like fist pumping, and she was hyped, she was ready to go. So that was exciting. That was exciting, obviously, with a personal connection with Tara. So that was great to see. But just the good race, and that's was a theme throughout the re whole weekend, was great racing. So yeah, that was awesome. What was the final results for the women's mile? Do you got that, or?
Yeah, so we had Tara in first, Lauren Griffith right behind her 6 seconds later. And then no, 11 seconds later was Camila Massa. And then Alondra Greenlee, who was actually supposed to be in my heat, and she got bumped into the first heat be because it's Alondra Greenlee. And then so well, it's fair. It's fair.
We don't
And
really
then
know who was missing or whatever, but yeah.
yeah, she wasn't actually the next one, but that's fine.
No.
So, and then, so Sarah Grippy, who was in my heat. So, this was the interesting thing too with having two heats is you can finish the race and you don't necessarily know for sure, for sure. So, Sarah Grippy, who won my heat, was fifth. And then Chris Rogowski, Carly Wopat, Annie Schiller, Alex Walker, Bethany McChesney, rounding out the top 10.
So Sarah Grippy, I got a chance. Like, not only did she run great races that weekend, and she did end up winning her age group for strong as well. But I got a chance to do a little commentary. She came and did a little commentary with us as well, and she did a fantastic job there. She's a very knowledgeable, and she's young. She could well be a key figure in the future of the sport. Was very nice to work with her a little bit. So men's mile relay. Guess who went out really fast? Rylan.
Rylan.
Yeah, he hammered it. He just went hair like right off the hop. He's like, I'm going. And whoever wants to come with me, come with me. And it played out. It was, again, it was a really good race. I think this one, even more so, like, again, it was just Rylan's. Rylan was not going to be denied. He was just like, I'm not having it. I'm not gonna
It
let it.
was like he wanted the other guys to suffer if they were going to catch him.
Yeah, he was willing to make himself hurt more to make everybody else hurt.
So, and he won by 41 seconds, which is essentially the length, well, a slower for them run of
When
the 160.
he came off that tank, he was full sprint. Like, I think it was his fastest run. And I was just blown away that, like, so not only was he had he been going so fast, but somehow at the same time he seemed to be conserving energy. Just unbelievably fast. And then this was again a return to form for Ryan Kent, right? So making up for the day before coming in and I guess fighting whatever he needed to fight in his system and coming in second, right?
Well, and like Ryan Kent didn't look in Ryan Kent form either. Like he looked like he was really struggling, and I think that second place for him was it probably took a lot more out of him than it normally would. Like he looked like he was struggling.
But he put him through it. And then what was our third place for that one?
Marcus Wallace.
It was Marcus Wallace. Marcus Wallace, newcomer on the scene. Some of us, behind the scenes have been doing a little work with him on some of the media side of it and know what he's capable of through training and seeing the odd time here and there. But this was his first really big event. And I think in the fit he might have won, he does not yet have the foot speed of some of the guys in the front. He's more of a CrossFit background. So that's coming. That's a work in progress. But the shorter the events get, the more dangerous he was becoming. And he proved it there to getting his podium in that mile and doing it fine in good form. So I was happy to see that because again, you won't meet a nicer guy, super nice and truly loves the sport. So
And then right behind him, also similar background, CrossFit background, was Colin Stieffer.
yeah, and you could pretty much mirror everything I just said about Colin.
And then we have Nick Riker, Cole Watkinson again, who had a great weekend, Dave Magida, Dylan Scott, Grayson Kilgore, and Jared Newby.
There you go. And nice to see Jared Newby get in there. Of course, and we mentioned Jared Newby, surprise, won the Go Ruck. Who would have guessed that? You want to talk about the safest bet in the world right there? Like, the only way he would not have won that if he was mauled by a bear. It's.
Well, he could even warn two rucks because don't they would just wear it? Don't they just run with 20?
No. I think the women are 20 men or 30. I'm not big at the go-ruck. I've thought about trying it eventually, but
Anyways, he has run a half marathon with a 50-pound vest in a 133, so
and doesn't he hold the world record for running like 10K with 100 pounds or
the half marathon.
Yeah. Oh, the half marathon with, I
Yeah.
thought it was like, yeah. So I mean, he is far and away the fastest man on earth while carrying weight.
Yes.
No doubt about it. I
Yeah.
yeah. So congrats to the most obvious pick. Seriously, I would have bet everything on it. If anyone was willing to take that bet, I'd have bet everything on it.
So, well, speaking about the Go Ref, Lori Winkleman also won
Yeah, and that was
the
going to be a
Go
little
Ref.
closer, but yeah, she was definitely a favorite for it.
Yeah. And then immediately finished and ran over to the start line of the Decafit Women's Elite Heat, which she did not want to do. And she wouldn't have done, she said, except that we waited for her.
Yeah, and I told her before, and people might have caught it during the commentary, but she was the only one to actually high-five the commentators as she was running the race. So,
I
in
believe that.
classic Lori Winkleman fashion. So, good for her. So yeah, so that was the mile. Then we go to the relays, and hello, the art department is home. Yeah. So we go to the relays. And let's start with yours and my relay. And this is where I think I'm is probably my biggest critique of the weekend.
Yeah.
One, that race is probably, it might be my favorite race to do. And the way it was set up, it was definitively the most dangerous race to do. Now they had the race course, the running track was more narrow than the previous year, which was already narrow. I mean, we're talking, would you say, what was that? Maybe 10 feet, 15 feet, 10 feet, 12 feet wide.
Yeah, 10 feet maybe, yeah.
And we had 10 teams of two running in that little skinny area, making 90 degree corners on slippery floors into jam-packed stations full of whatever. So
Yeah.
when we went out, and we said this before, we went out and you and I talked before, you were going to lead because you were doing the lunges, so you were going to run your we're going to run your pace so that you're set to go in there. And immediately, like, we're like 3 steps into the run, and boom, you get plowed over.
Yeah. So and the mixed relay is also the most unique in that you have men and women, and so sometimes tall men don't see me. So I got plowed from behind, and like the guy was very apologetic as he continued to fly by, but I almost fell, like I caught myself, it really tweaked my hammy, it really hurt. But yeah, then I was like, okay, I'm just gonna hang out behind y'all because you guys can go fight this out, because that was ridiculous. Like I got hammered from behind. And thankfully I have a hockey background because I caught myself, but I was like, this is chaos. Like you have 10 big men, 10 women, and everyone's gunning for a good spot at the lunges, and it was complete chaos.
Yeah, I'm sure it might have been fun to watch because of the chaos. It was a bit much. It was a bit much. And then
Yeah.
you got bumped again when we went into the lunges. So we were.
Yeah, then so the other thing with the mile, it's weird, is so people would go in and they would save a spot for their person that was coming to do the lunges, which I don't know if you should be able to do that or not. So I went to a mat that no one was lunging on, but someone was standing on, and they grabbed me and threw me to a mat a couple over because they didn't want me there. So I was a little bit disturbed within the first minute and a half of this race.
Salty. Yeah, she was a bit salty. She was a bit salty.
Yeah,
And
I might have swore at whoever grabbed me and threw me. I don't even know who it was, but
9 minutes ago.
oh, we got some
Decision made.
breaking news here. This is literally breaking news.
Oh, what?
We need like this ticker tape. So this is a post from Decafit. A note from Decafit co-founder director Yancey Culp. I haven't even read this yet, so here we go. The 2023 Deca World Championships was an epic 3-day celebration of fitness. Our team would like to extend much gratitude and appreciation to everyone who has supported Deca. In the first wave of the Deca Strong Elite Female Heat, our team made a mistake during the pre-race equipment check for Deca, and we were going to talk about this later, but this whatever, it's time now. For Deca Zone 9, and had lane 7 set at a resistance of 5 instead of a resistance of 6. Our female Deca Strong champion, Alundra Greenlee, was in lane 7, and won the race by 13 seconds. Our second place finisher, Camilla Scott, had a zone 9 completion time approximately 13 seconds slower than Alondra. Alondra's zone 9 time, 133. Camilla's zone 9 time, 146. That's 13 seconds. There is no way for us to know for sure exactly how the race would have finished, but we know that our mistake stole what we feel would have been an epic finish between two amazing athletes. We also put them both in a gut-wrenching situation that was zero fault of their own. I talked to both athletes, and they mutually agreed that crowning them as co-champions would be the best solution, which I agree with as well. I feel that is necessary to provide you with the behind the scenes understanding of how gracious these two athletes were throughout the process. When I spoke to them both about the mistake we made that tarnished their experience and through controversy at the race, they were supportive and understanding. To both athletes, we apologize and extend huge appreciation for the way you handled this situation. We put you both in. Thank you both for all your support for DECA and the DECA affiliate gym communities across the globe. To our 2023 female DECA Strong Elite co-champions, Alondra Greenlee and Camilla Massa, much love and gratitude from our entire team. To the power of sport, competition, and fitness personified by you two wonderful humans. So final champions end up Alondra Greenlee and Camilla Massa tied for first, and Carly Wolpat in third place. Oh, and Alondra and Camilla will both be paid first place prize money. So, thought?
I think that's perfect. I think that's the perfect way to handle it.
Yeah, I really can't think of a better way to put it. Like, yeah. Well done, guys. Good job.
Yeah, I'm glad they actually did address it and not just try to pretend like it didn't happen. But yeah, I appreciate that a lot. I think that's the perfect way to handle it.
Yeah, and they owned it. They said, you know, yeah, that was awesome. I was, you know, and I mean, who knows how it happened? Like, right, if it was, now, didn't you say that beforehand the 65 plus women were going?
It wasn't me that said that.
Okay, someone said that before the elites was the 65 plus women. And I don't know if their tank setting is maybe on a lower setting, because I believe that their weights are lower.
Their weights are lower. So maybe that happened.
That happened. And then that tank got
the same as the kids.
Yeah, they did the same as the kids. So maybe that one tank just got missed, knocking it up.
So question then, how far down does the prize money go?
I think it goes to 5.
Okay, because our sixth place girl had that same tank.
Yeah. So I think it goes 5. Yeah, Janelle, was it?
Yeah, Janelle Teal had the same tank as Alondra and moved it. Like, she won her heat, came from behind, same thing. Like,
yeah, and she's a very strong girl too. But
yeah, like, yeah, not taking anything away from them, but again, she had a tank definitely on the lower setting too.
Yeah, and if you figure it costs, you know, maybe 13 seconds for anyway, yeah.
Yeah, like, again, she was only 7 seconds ahead of seventh place, and who was 5 seconds next to Lori Winkleman, and like, it's just
could have been a two to three spot drop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know that they'll do anything about that one. They probably,
well, yeah, it's fine at the end if it's not, if there's no prize money, then yeah there was no podium for,
and again, no fault of Janelle's.
No, or Alondra's. It's no fault of theirs. You grab, in my individual races, you just went for the thing. You didn't check.
Well, yeah, exactly. No, and I know in my individual race, the only time I looked at the setting on the tank was when you and I raced together, because it was going flipping back and forth.
Yeah,
because
we had to change it.
Yeah, but the rest of the time when I pushed the tank, like when Jeff and I pushed the tank, or when I did it on my own, I never looked at the setting. It never even occurred to me to. Right?
No.
Yeah. Anyway, that's good. Good job. So we were talking about our relay, right?
Yeah.
And so after the lunges, we were dead last.
What? Dead last.
Dead last. DFL. Rocking the back foot.
We were like at the very back spot possible for the lunges.
Oh, yeah. People were finishing before you got started.
Yeah. I got shot put into the back corner. You get back there.
And to be honest, like when I got there, I wasn't even sure, you know, because I tried to follow you, right? So I wasn't even sure, okay, we're gonna go here. Oh, no, we're going over here. Like,
Yeah,
for a while.
it is mild chaos.
Yeah, so it was mild chaos. So we came out of that dead last, and you put in another good run, but we were still dead last going into the row. And then, and we laugh about this because I put in a decent row for me. I think it was about a 135, 136, somewhere around there. It was mid 130s, and the joke of it was I was starting to gap at the end, and I was starting to slow in the last 100 meters or so, and then Beth screamed at me, "That doesn't hit 140!" Pick up the pace again. It's like terrified. There's a very angry little woman behind me, and I couldn't even hear. She was gonna stab me in the back.
I was hurting so bad. So I'm like, Dave, if you want everything out of me, you need to give everything and you don't slow down.
I did, and we made up about three spots. We made up a few spots there, so it worked well. So we did. We went well there, and I think we just kept plucking away. We kept plucking away as we went, and we had some good stations. I think we had a great tank. My bike was what I would deem acceptable. It was a sub minute, which, it should be a little bit better, to be honest, but was okay. And we just kept ticking along, and eventually we ended up sixth, which again, I think we were 17th ranked going in, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
So we'll take that. That was good. And it was a hard effort, but that is one of my favorite races. I just, and I ran really well in the last run. I even pulled up ahead of you for a little bit. But then I'm like, yeah, but you're doing the burpees when we start.
Like, I'll run with you, but you start. I'm like, oh, okay.
So it was good. It was good. Then, but up at the front, so some of the people in the front, like we had, this was when Bubbles had just, this is when Bubbles starts to, well, actually, they did win. Should we save the Bubbles thing? We just do one whole Bubbles scenario bit at the end.
Yeah, so they, yeah, well, it's up to you, but I do have the team results.
All right. Tell us the team results, and then we'll talk about.
Yeah, so we had, this is where we had Kevin Gregory and Carla Rotundi, and they did set a world record with that one also. And then Katie Duke and Grayson, who were a team for all three, which is really cool to see. Marissa, sorry. Yeah, they were also, and Marissa Pope and Keaton, who were also a team for all three. Alex Walker and Brandon Bonine, and they took it out, I believe.
Really hot.
Yeah, so they were leading at one point. And then Karen Gaudry and Brian Neely, who were in a couple team events also, and then Bethany Richesse and Dave Claxon.
Yes,
I
that's some good names for us to be rocking up with, I
think
mean,
so too, now that I look at it.
like, hey, come on, I
Mine is Sherry Adams and Woodson Witt
oh yeah
in
yeah
there.
they're beasts. Just too damn fast. No, it was a good race. I really, other than the beginning, I really enjoyed the race. And once it thinned out, it wasn't so bad. But that start, something needs to be done about that start.
Yeah, I
So,
agree.
yeah. And then on the women's side, who do we have on the women's side?
Or what?
Well, say, what did we do? Yeah, for the relay.
Oh, for the relay. So we had Holly Meyer, Brandi Dittert, Megan McSwain, Canadian girl, and Maureen Millard, and Imogen Cross and Nicole Fisher.
And
And then Amber Tate and Grace Tiffany in fourth.
yeah, that was a tough one. We were hoping that Grace and Amber would sneak on the podium there, but maybe
So
not.
close, 4 seconds.
Yeah, it was really close. And that was a good race too. That was another one that came. I didn't get to see the whole race, but I walked by right at the end, and it looked like there was nine teams doing burpees. It was just super tight.
And then, so on the men's mile relay, Dave Nikita and Eric Williams, I believe that was a world record also, 14:41. And then Taylor Haney, Colin Stieffer, and then third place with was Grayson Kilgore and Rylan Chadwick. And
And
Aaron Nolan and Glenn Rax in fourth, like super stacked.
that's the old boys, both over 40.
Yeah.
Watching a bit of that from the side, the speed those boys were running up and down, especially up that back stretch. Once they made that first corner and run up that back, they were flying.
Yeah. It was like scary fast.
It was unbelievable. And who came like, was it 11th in that race?
11th or 15th?
Randomly, yeah.
Okay, let's see. Well, Jeff Fisher and Trevor Rosborough.
No apparent reason to throw that out there. I'd just like to know who comes 11th.
Yeah, perfect farm boys.
Yes. Great stuff. We're really, and they threw down. They put in a great effort. So way to go, Jeff and Trev. You guys are awesome. So all good races. That was really good. Again, that was the one course layout that I really wasn't fond of, and hopefully they can come. But to be honest, I don't know how you fix it other than making the running area wider.
Or making the heat smaller, but I still really like that you're racing the people that you could be, within the mix. So I don't know. I don't know, because I really like what they did with the strong.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
that was fine. So I don't know. Maybe we need to rethink the mile, because honestly, like, I did hurt my hamstring. Like, I, you know, and I was like a fraction of a millimeter away from face planting and being trampled. So I mean, it didn't happen, but like, it could have happened. So
Yeah,
I don't know.
maybe something to learn from.
Yeah.
So let me go to day three, which when I walked in and saw the setup, I'm like, fucking A.
Yeah, it was amazing. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm like, this.
Not super conducive to PBs necessarily,
No.
because there was running in between every station, tiny bits, a little bit of running in between. But amazing from a spectator standpoint, and you could very much see who's leading, who's not. There's no collisions. People are not fighting for station. So last year with the strong, there was like with the farmers carrying the tank, you had to go out and around. And even when you came into stuff like the box overs and the sit-ups, you had to go out and around and fight for a spot. But this one, you had one lane and you stayed in your lane. So there was no confusion as to who got what. So as from a racing standpoint, it was perfect.
It was, yeah, it did just promote great racing, and it was CrossFit-esque in its setup. And I did look when you said it wasn't really conducive to PRs or anything like that. I went and I went back and I looked at my transitions from my PR, the transition time to my transitions at Worlds, and it was a 35-second di difference. So it was extra 35 seconds of transition time on this course. So I mean, and that was personally for me for one particular setup. But I would wager that if you're trying to figure out, roughly what you would have run on your local gym where you are able to kind of make this super fast setup with super slow, super low transitions, you're probably looking at, a 35 to, maybe even a 40 second. Because the one I had, we had super fast transition areas, right? Like for where I did my PR. But yeah, 30 to 35 seconds, maybe even 40 seconds for the difference in transition. Because the bike seat alone, getting there and having to adjust the bike seat took a lot of time, and then when you finished your farmer carry, then you had to run that whole 10 meter distance plus the extra distance in between. When you finished your tank, you had to run that whole 10 meter distance plus the extra 10 meter distance between, plus you had a run at the beginning before you even got to the lunges, which wasn't very long, but it's an extra couple of seconds, right? It all adds up. So like, I think my time prepping the bike seat was something in the neighborhood. Yeah, it was 17 seconds adjusting the bike seat.
Well, that's a pretty long adjusting a bike seat.
Well, I had a
Do
drink and a smoke and
you?
small chit chat with my judge.
Yeah,
Thank you, by the
probably.
way. What is
Jen Stagnoli.
Jen Stagnoli? Best judge. She did a great job. She gave me encouragement exactly where I need it and when I need it. Thank you. But yeah, it was all in all was a 35 second difference. But so it like I said, that was just backing up what you said about not being very conducive to PRs.
Yeah. I mean, and I ran a PR, so I would
I
love
know.
it if you were going to say it's 30, 35 seconds. So, but at the same time, like, I kind of liked the running in between, like, even if it's 10 meters, like I have a very fast heart rate recovery. So if I have 10 meters of running, my heart rate can drop 10 beats. So getting into a bike or something, it does kind of help me in a racing situation.
Yeah. I loved the setup. I had no qualms with it whatsoever. It just, I because I didn't care about time, right? It's you're racing hoop people in the exact same scenario. So it was great. The only thing I didn't like about the setup was I was in a middle lane and it was tough to video.
Well, and the other thing is, so there, I'm not sure the numbers, but there might have been six or seven on one side, and then there was the barriers, and then other side. I couldn't super well see the people on the other side. It doesn't really matter. You still kind of can get an idea of where people are at, but the other people on the other side felt kind of far away.
Yeah, and I'm not even entirely sure of the purpose of the barrier between.
Yeah.
I think it was just visually, like the barrier could have been on the other side, but I think then it would have blocked the spectators on the other side. But I think it just.
No, but like, why have it at all?
Yeah. I don't know. I think just for the way it
branding.
Looked.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Big on their branding.
Yeah. Brand is brand, right? But yeah, that was probably the only complaint I could have about it. Anyway, to the actual races. Might as well talk about yours. Yours was big. Yours was your only age group race.
Yeah, it was the one I didn't make elite, which is fine. I did not expect to make elite.
Were you even considering not doing it?
Well, yeah, after my 2 mile races, I was like, I don't even want to race tomorrow. It's a strong, like, there's no running. I'm tired, whatever. But I'm like, okay, just go have some fun, whatever. Like, it's, you know, just, I'm like, it's just workout. It's a workout. It's fine. You know, it's like what you do at your gym all the time. Just go do it. Have fun. Yeah, because I mean, as the races get shorter, the girls get bigger, and I just feel more and more out of my element. So the strong is very intimidating to me. So, but yeah, it was the one that was the age group race for me. I think I was maybe fourth or fifth ranked going in. So I'm like, you know, if you can just run your own race, do it how you have to do it. Because obviously my strengths are not what most girls' strengths are when it comes to being a really good DECA strong athlete. So I just know girls are going to fly off the rower way ahead of me. Girls are going to fly out of the skier way ahead of me. I do not do the bike like most of the girls do. So I kind of have to, again, kind of like what I was saying with the DECA fit relay, I have to accept that there's things where I'm not going to be very, that I'm not going to be, you're going to feel behind, and it's okay. I did have a very specific race strategy where I knew if it's going to work out for me, it's going to have to happen this way. And it's going to be, so we're still talking a 13 or 14 minute race, which is, it's still an endurance race. So where I'm going to have to make my moves is when I come off the bike, I have to smash things. And that's going to be my ability to suffer and to push when people are suffering. And that was the only way I was going to do well in my heat. So yeah, I came off the ski ergon last, which I started to get used to at this point in the weekend. And then I just started, you know, passed a little bit on the farmer's carry, because you told me a few months before that I suck at the farmer's carry. So
I'm helping.
I took that to heart. So I can't breathe when I carry 80 pounds. So I pushed the farmer's carry.
It's like it's almost 80% of your weight.
Yeah, exactly. So I pushed the farmer's carry, did the bike as I always do the bike, same, same. And yeah, then I just really, really suffered for the next ones. And I started passing girls. They were just kind of coming back to me. And then I came out of the tank and I was in second, and I just like smash the burpees, which again, I can do burpees kind of within, you know, 8 seconds, depending if I'm fresh or not. So yeah. And then I crossed, I was like, oh my God, I just came second in a strong. And I did a big PB. So it just kind of worked out. But again, it was a race where I really had to mentally prepare that if you're going to do well, you're going to have to just accept that you're going to really suffer when it really hurts. And that's what I did.
Yeah. And you went straight for the bucket.
And then I was literally crawling towards the garbage can because I remember I had about 8 burpees. I was like, oh Lord, it's coming up. It's coming up. And then I just finished, and then I just crawled towards the garbage and dry heaved as I do.
So we'll talk a little bit about the women's strong. Go to the women's strong. And that one kind of went as expected at the beginning. Carly Wopat looking very
Yes.
dominant through the first, I'm going to say, until
Bike.
after the bike, looking very dominant, even coming off the bike. But and I said this on the commentary, when she was doing her dead ball over the shoulders, one, that's a difficult one for her because she is so tall, and even though she's very strong, it's just a long distance to go, right?
Her and Camila,
Yeah.
actually, with the dead balls, there's just a cadence that someone, a smaller athlete, like Alondra. When I was watching, Alondra moved so fast on those dead balls. So I started to notice like Alondra might catch them doing the dead balls. She was like one and a halfing them on the dead balls.
Yeah, that's where she was getting in the fight. But I also noticed that Carly's was starting, her technique was eroding a bit, and she was starting to lose placement of the ball. And for me, when I see someone start to lose where the ball drops, like it's not going exactly where they want it to go, that's usually a sign they're starting to fatigue. And so not only was Camilla's cadence and Alondra's cadence faster, but she was starting to lose it. So they were making up ground. And then they went to the tank. And again, somewhere where I would expect Carly to, just with her sheer strength and mass, she was not able to pull away from Camilla. And at that time, yes, we know Alondra's tank was different, so Alondra was really making up ground. But and this is where really we got our first clue that something wasn't quite right, because all of a sudden Alondra was on the burpees and we're like, whoa. So yeah, it definitely came in there. But that point, like I said, Camilla was just putting it in overdrive and making sure that she got there. And then Carly just kept bleeding out time on those burpees. And Carly's not bad at burpees, but just she had, I think she had overdone it. She tipped over that edge and ended up in a photo finish with Raquel.
And Carly just she shot her arm out, and the timing chip is on your arm, and so it was 0.6 of a second faster than Raquel.
Yeah, and I know that, it was definitely a photo finish. But if you look back and see some of the videos, you can see, and I don't know where we saw it, whose video it was, but we did see Carly just shoot her arm out, and it was the difference. So.
Yeah, and it's why in track racing, in track racing, it's your chest when the chest crosses, and that's why people dive at the line. Like it's kind of racing, and for even Carly to have the wherewithal to think to do that, I'm very impressed by that too, 'cause like I don't know if I would have thought, the timing chip is here, shoot your arm out. But like even like right behind Raquel, Tara Jackson was less than a second
Yeah.
behind her, and then less than a second was Janelle Teal, but they were not in the same race.
Yeah, no.
Janelle had the fast tank too. She was right there, and like, it was such a tight race. But yeah, that last half was just, it was insane. But like Alondra had a fast tank, but when she came off that bike, you knew she was going to give everything anyways. So she, even if she had a fast tank, and I mean Alondra was in the mindset that she was going to smash it anyways. And
Yeah.
I mean she
It's one of those things that you'll never know, but
yeah
I would not be surprised if she had won anyway. But at the same time, I wouldn't be terribly surprised if Camilla had won. So I th like again, we go
Yeah.
back to I probably the right decision was made.
Yeah, it would have been a burpee off, and it probably would have been down to one burpee, and you just don't know.
Yeah. It could have went either way. It could have been another arm stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who knows? That's why it's the right one. So to the men's strong, which may have been the highlight race of the weekend.
It was definitely the race where the crowd went absolutely berserk.
Oh yeah, and for this one, we weren't right there. We were back at the table. So this
I was
was,
there.
but oh, but it didn't matter. We knew.
Yeah.
We didn't have to look at the screen. We didn't have to look up. We knew.
You
We
know
knew
what
what was
happened.
going on. But race started out pretty much very even. And this race, this storyline going in is Ryland going to take the Triple Crown, or is someone like Kevin Gregory or Ryan Corning or someone who is more of a power specialist going to spoil his day? And Kevin Gregory being the one that had all weekend dominated team relays, been taking team world championships, team records, and like raced how many races? Seven?
He had seven.
Seven races on the weekend. And this being his last race and his primary race, the one he wanted the most.
Well, it was his third last race.
Third, like, oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Because he had
Yeah.
more relays after, my bad. But so this was his primary race. So this was his primary race. So it went through as thought. You know, Ryland went out hot. There were other guys. Kevin Gregory bought his time, bide his, bought, bide. What would that be? I don't
By just,
know.
yeah.
Bide his time. We'll go with that. Bide his time, did what he knows he's supposed to do. Nobody knows their pacing in a strong better than Kevin Gregory. And he knows exactly when he needs to be, exactly when he needs to be there, exactly how long he needs to take to do it. And then he got
And
on
he
the.
knows exactly his settings on the assault bike.
Oh, yeah. He knows his settings on his salt bike. He knows his dampers. He knows every little thing. And this is, I've said this before, Kevin Gregory is underrated as being probably the most analytical athlete in DECA.
Well, and like coming into the bike, he was so chill. He adjusted his seat height. He adjusted his seat forward or back. I'm not, and I'm like, oh my God, just get on the bike.
He
Like
could have took 17 seconds.
he took so much time. It felt like, because in racing world, like a second is worth like 10. He took so much time setting up his bike, and I'm like, holy crap. But then when he got on there.
And then just what was he? Was he? I haven't got a clock and I don't know the splits, but I'm assuming he was sub 20 again. He had done a 15 second earlier in a relay. So.
So Kevin was always, from what I heard, between 15 and 17 seconds on every bike he did.
Yeah, so he except the only one that maybe might have been a little longer was the one he did in the individual mile.
Yeah, he wasn't. I don't know if he raced that one the same.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised he even raced that race, but you know, likes to race. So came off there and then you were right in it, like
Oh, I was in the crowd, and
eruption.
well, so going, I don't know when it was, maybe off of the ski erg, everyone was saying, oh, Rylan has it, Rylan has it. He had a pretty good gap. And then I think just the way that Kevin strolled up to the bike and his like nonchalant, I don't know if people really thought, I think people were kind of thinking, okay, he's going to get his podium, but I don't know if people thought he's going to smash Rylan. And then he did what he does on the bike, and then he came off like immediately, it felt like, and the whole crowd just like erupted. Like everyone started screaming, and then it's not like he moseyed to the ball overs.
No.
He bounced off the bike, started smashing the ball over, smashed the tank. Like it was like he had practiced that sequence, bike, ball overs, tank, burpees, like a million times. And
Because
even
he
in this,
has.
and it was like it was textbook. And like after off that bike, no one was catching Kevin Gregory.
So I will say this though, come the burpees, the world finally started, the weight finally started to hit him. He finally started to fatigue because Rylan was making ground. Rylan was catching up on those burpees. He was starting to haul. And if you didn't count them, like if you weren't sure of the exact count, you would be like, oh my God, he might get caught. He might get caught. But Rylan made it a great race and ended up, Kevin did end up winning. And again, that might have been the
It
other
was
biggest.
still 12 seconds. Like Rylan would have had to.
But it was a lot more than 12 when he went into it. But
That's
that
fair.
might have been the next biggest eruption of the weekend was when Kevin actually crossed the line first. And
And Ryan Kent and Marcus Wallace were 0.4 seconds apart crossing the line.
And again, kudos Marcus and Kent fighting off the bug and getting back into it, getting back into racing form. So it was awesome. And I think the strong stole the show for the weekend. I think, like, for me, entertainment wise, was the best race to watch. So close, and little mistakes meant everything. So I don't know. It was just for me. I loved it. The crowd was totally into it. It was fantastic. And Kevin, when Rylan nearly wins a triple crown, comes one place off winning the triple crown, and isn't the talk of the weekend. What does that tell you about the guy that took away the spotlight? You know, how loved Kevin Gregory is, and how much he lives and breathes the sport. We couldn't have been happier. Interviewed him after. He was teary. I've never seen somebody so excited, so happy, so pleased. I mean, it was great. And so proud of Kevin and his whole underdog team. This sport would not be the same without them.
Yeah,
100%.
I just love to see someone who puts their heart and soul into this. Like Rylan's call it kind of still an all-arounder, and he obviously he deserves his podiums, and
Oh, he
but
was amazing.
Kevin lives and breathes DECA, and he knows what he's good at, and he's just honed his skills on what he's really good at, and being able to do that and come out on top so many times, I love seeing it, because you know how much they've put into this one thing and how much that meant to them. And Kevin is just, and he's such a great ambassador for the sport. And he was like the second person to give me a hug when Heather and I crossed the line. When he's a fan, he's a team player, he helps his athletes, he's there for, the team race is his thing. He's just an all around good guy. So everybody kind of feels that too, and his heart for DECA is there. And I think that's why when he came off that bike, the whole crowd was just so pumped for him, because it was like we knew what he put into that race. So yeah, it was such a cool moment.
And for those of you getting frustrated training, you just think about this. Kevin spends hundreds upon hundreds of hours on that bike in order to spend less than 20 seconds on that bike.
So Kevin, in his seven races, spent less time on the bike than I did in my six.
Mean,
In one of my six.
one of your
One
six.
of my six. So in one of my races, he spent less time than he did in seven of his races.
And you only did the bike in one race of your six, didn't you?
Not true, I did three.
All right,
Oh,
yeah. All right, right. Yes.
I did three bikes this weekend,
I
thank you.
apologize. That was horribly insulting of me. Sorry.
Three times I had to get on that thing, and I counted down every time. Less than the races I had to run, I counted out how many times I had to get on that bike.
When we did our last relay, when we did the strong, I had to tell myself the whole time, I'm like, just be less than a minute on the bike, and the rest is just fluff. You're fine.
It's just the bike.
Just the bike's gonna hurt. Just you're gonna hurt for a minute, and the rest of the time you're gonna have a good time. That's what it
Exactly.
was. That's what it was. And we did well there. We did good there. Again, I think we outkicked our coverage. That
Oh God, that was painful.
was painful. That was painful. But we did pretty good by
Okay.
brilliant strategy by my wife. Those of you who ever see, if you ever see a video, you will see everyone in that race fly out like bandits, and I sauntered to that rower. I was on a pleasure stroll while Bethany was destroying herself on the lunches. Was good. All right. Couple things. One thing, we were going to talk High Rocks. We're not doing that today. There's just not enough time. We're going to wait too long because there's just two more things I want to do. We'll go with this. Judging. There was some complaints about standards and judging. And I'm not going to say they were unwarranted. There were some great judges like her
Oh.
who did all 3 days and stuff. And by the way, also great volunteers. We'd be remiss not to mention our roommates there, Jesse and Dan, who volunteered all 3 days and killed it. And there was tons of people like them that did the same thing. But some of the judging standards were off. And the question becomes, not to deny it, it's what to do about it.
Yeah, the biggest thing, well, I think the only thing that might need to be really talked about is what do we do about it, I would say, is the lunges.
Back in the front, it's the lunges and the burpees.
Yeah, but I like, what do you do about the burpees though? aside from getting full extension, but that's not really going to change the judging aspect of it. So the lunges, there were a lot of jumping lunges that we saw that just weren't being called. And a lot of lack of hip extension at the top of the lunge. That does change the time of the lunges very significantly. It fatigues the legs a little, maybe a little bit more, but I mean that is what it is. That and then the burpees, a lot of people not standing up, it not getting over their head, things just not being called in that regard. And sometimes that last burpee, people kind of get up and then they toss the ram. So not kind of finishing that final rep. So, like, I don't know, is it time for DECA to just stop fighting the lunges and make it a switch lunge and make that legal? Do we make full extension on the burpees, or is that just going to cause more issues with what does full extension look like? What does it not look like? I don't think it's necessarily the bottom half of the burpee. I think it's the top half. So, yeah, I would say those were the two things that were really talked about the most.
So for the burp or for the lunges to start with, before letting everything go and just saying Wild West have at it, I would still like them to do the idea that I suggested and put the line on the ground or use the front of the mat where it's both feet have to be in front of that line before the next one goes back. And it makes it easier to judge because if both feet aren't there, then you're doing a jumping, then you're doing a switch lunge, right? I'd like to see them give that a try. As far as the full extension on both burpees and lunges, what it comes down to, I think, is a culture that's gone from the start of this sport that's kind of been allowed to, gray area, gray area. So it just, you need to, they need, DECA needs to nail down what is acceptable, what's not, and then have their judges enforce it maliciously.
And we've said this too, you have to be able to call it no rat,
Yeah.
because we saw a bunch of times where people were given warning and warning and warning and stand up and don't switch and don't switch, and they would just keep going. And until there's a no rep, people will just keep doing it.
Exactly. The best way to fix form is one no rep, because especially in that strong, a no rep could cost you two spots. So if you really think it's going to happen, you're not going to do it. It's you're going to make sure you're in good form. So I think that it's just something they're going to have to work on. They're going to have to be more stringent in their training on the judges, and on the judges are going to have to be more brazen and more confident to call a no rep and say, this, I don't care who you are. Yes, you're Rylan, you're the world champion, but that lunge sucked ass. And I use Rylan because Rylan's actually stuff is really pretty good. So yeah, I mean, and this one's less egregious too, but the dead ball over the shoulders too, there's a lot of skirt in the shoulder on some of those ones too that needed to be cleaned up. So yeah.
Yeah, and then with the farmer's carry, both feet past the line, like that wasn't as bad.
I might have missed one.
You have a single person that I judge not put both feet past the line on farmer's
There
carry.
you go.
Not one single person.
It's
Sick.
not as bad, and I think that doesn't really cost people as much, but
No.
like
Yeah.
I know in our strong relay. I'm not slow at lunges. I'm pretty low to the ground.
Yeah.
And I was like five lunges behind.
Yeah, and I mean that's you're there was nobody pushing you out of the way that time. Like
Yeah,
you're quick,
right.
right? So yeah, there's definitively some jumping lunges going on, some switch lunges, whatever you want to call them. I mean, I saw some ones where we're not talking full extension. They barely got past 90. Like it was really bad. But anyway.
Yeah, that's, I think the lunges is probably the biggest one that they need to work on.
I think so too. I think so too. If they were just a little more diligent on calling no reps on the burpees, I think that would clean itself up.
I agree.
And then but the lunges might need some rewording and a little more work than that. But that other than that, the only thing I want to say is thank you to everybody who came and talked to me and cheered me on and helped and stuff like and stories and stuff. I mean, there's like so many tears. Like, no, I'm not crying. You're crying. Like it was really there was a lot of really happy moments and a lot of a lot of feel good vibes. So I was, I just thank you to everyone. I mean, I can't appreciate enough support and you guys appreciating what we do, because that's the only reason we do it.
Yeah, and likewise, like I joke with Dave, like I'm like sometimes when I think, you know, people don't really listen to our podcast, and the amount of people that came up and, you know, they said they really appreciated what we do, and or the people that talked about being inspired, or the people that kind of joked that, not joked, but you know, that even my, you know, my size in a sport that's bent towards, you know, a bigger body inspired them and stuff like that, where it's like, wow, it's just, the community is so cool in that it's also people who are willing to compliment other people and say, you inspired me. And we're not, it's not people who are afraid to say things like that and build each other up, even in the girls that are my like head to head competitors. Like, it's just, I've never been a part of a community like this that's just so supportive and like lifts each other up and encourages, even when you beat someone, they're still like happy for you. And it was just like, I just left the weekend just feeling so much gratitude to be a part of this community, because there's nothing like it that I've ever been a part of. And it was just, it was such a special weekend, I think, for me.
Oh, me too. And there is, I lied, there's two more things, but they're quick. Right. One, I want to thank all the guys I raced against in the strong age group. It was amazing racing with you guys. And we had a lot of 1 second, 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. It was really close. I really want to point out Ivan Milan, just an absolute beast and monster. And he just shows you that you cannot judge a book by its cover. And that, you know, like I said, monsters look all sorts of different ways. And he's not only a monster, but a class act and a great guy. And the best guy to win that race. So really happy to get some time to talk with him, and hopefully to get some tips from him in the future and learn from him, because the guy is absolutely amazing. And he, when I crossed the line, he was over to come talk to me and stuff and pity me. So thanks on that, Ivan, and all the other guys in the race. It was a great race. Also my relay partners, Jeff and Bethany. Awesome, Jeff. I mean, we had a great race. That was good. We PR'd. That was good. And Beth, I know it wasn't a PR for us, but that's not a PR course. But I think that was far better than we expected to finish. I think we did well. So that was really good. And it was good. The last thing, though, was the draft.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'll go through the results pretty quickly here. So in third place, making a habit of this, Nancy Culp with 200 points. The man is too busy building the race to really know what's going on. No, I'm kidding. Actually, his biggest issue was Rich Ryan not completing any races, and Ryan Kent not finishing the fit. That one, that really, really cost him. In second place this time, me with 223 points. The lack of Vivian Tefuto really hurt me bad. And in first place, 226 points, only by 3 points, despite not having Vivian, Bethany McChesney. And you only made one real mistake. And you know what that is?
What?
Is your last pick. And this is no offense to Grayson Kilgore. He got you 12 points. He's a good guy. He's a great athlete. Great athlete. You should have took Bethany McChesney.
Well, why would I have counted?
What's that? You would have got...
I thought relays didn't count.
They didn't. But between your fit and your mile, you would have got 24 points.
No way. Oh. Should have bet on me.
Yeah, always bet on yourself, Bethany. Know your worth. Know your worth. Exactly. All right. Wrap it up, Beth. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. It was a lot to talk about today, but I mean, that was the weekend. 3-day weekends, tons of racing. There was so much that happened too. So congrats to everybody who raced this weekend. It was such an amazing weekend again. And like we said, thanks so much for coming up and saying hi and showing your appreciation for what we do. We love what we do. So the support means a lot. And until next time, take care and keep crushing it.
And Decker, let us know where the next one is. We got to make plans. Take care.